All right, today's message is called Christ Does It All. Lord, I want to thank you for this message. I pray you blesses the hearers and they become doers of the word, not hearers only. I just want to thank you for all that you do for us on a daily basis, all your mercy and grace that you shine forth in our lives, even without our knowledge sometimes. I pray you bless this message to go out and do what you needed to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So our text today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Most of us don't realize the enormity of what Paul is talking about in this text. In 2 Corinthians, we see conflict and resolution. We see a wise but stern apostle, and we see that if we hope in physical prosperity, it is the outlook of fools, which lacks spiritual discernment, understanding, and any Bible wisdom. What Paul reveals here is that when one lives in Christ, one cannot help but suffer. Paul states in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. See, Paul was obsessed with familiarizing himself with the life and death of Christ because he knew that comfort does not come with lack of trouble and suffering, but it is through trial and tribulation that we learn, grow, and understand what it takes to receive real comfort when all is said and done. We were not born again to receive our best life now. We were saved to heap up as many rewards in heaven so we have something to present to the judge at the judgment seat. It is essential to point out that when we are judged, we are not judged for salvation. Salvation is an earthly decision one makes in order to stand on the right side of God's judgment. Indecision, or the wrong decision on earth, lands you on the wrong side of God's judgment millennia later at a judgment called the Great White Throne. Our judgment is a time of cheers or tears, depending on our service for the King on earth. It's quite simple. If we live selfishly and focused on the world and ourselves, we will have nothing to show. If we focused on the Lord and did our best to follow the Lord through the roadmap of the scriptures, then we cannot lose, even if you think it's not good enough. The Bible states in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And 1 Corinthians 3 tells you how it will work on that day. And remember, the Bible calls the judgment seat the terror of the Lord. I would also like to point out that the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble, and yet the judgment seat is called a terror. So let me ask you, which one do you think God puts more emphasis on, his children or the world? Oftentimes we focus on the world and what will happen next here, but our concern, or even terror, is what will happen there at the judgment seat. It is clear that the Lord Jesus is always drawing lines in the sand between the world and our best life then in New Jerusalem. You see, the more and more that you learn about the scriptures, the less and less Paul seemed like a crazy fanatic. He received worldly wisdom by the best of the best, a man named Gamaliel, while he was Saul, a lost man. But he received real wisdom, or heavenly wisdom, firsthand, that showed him the things that are, the things that were, and the things that are to come, as Paul the Apostle. Now, he may not have been able to perfectly assimilate this information when it came to the spiritual and physical realms. None of us can. Nevertheless, he understood that in order to understand Christ, he would have to suffer as a servant of Christ in order for his heavenly account with Christ to have value in the end. Martin Luther said this, and that's Martin Luther of the Reformation. If we consider the greatness and the glory of the life we shall have when we have risen from the dead, it would not be difficult at all for us to bear the concerns of this world. If I believe the word, I shall on the last day, after the sentence has been pronounced, not only gladly have suffered ordinary temptations, insults, and imprisonment, but I shall also say, oh, that I did not throw myself under the feet of all the godless for the sake of the great glory which I now see revealed and which has come to me through the merit of Christ. Now, that's Martin Luther of the Reformation. There is a character in the Bible that avoids suffering and does not accept reality, and his name is Satan. You see, Satan is called a king and a god, and if you have ever worked for anybody, you know that there is always someone that has a god complex, someone who only wants to enjoy the spoils of war but is never willing to fight for it. So in Job 41:34b, Satan is called a king over all the children of pride. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it states, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, he has the two titles on earth that every man covets, because they get to live in the lap of luxury with throngs of minions at their feet, providing for them whatever they ask, usually tending towards extreme wickedness and evil, eternally or externally. So we see that Paul has all the pieces of the puzzle floating around in his heart and mind, and through letters written at different periods of time, we are now able to put it together cohesively in order to understand our role, Satan's role, and the world's role in the grand scheme of things. Returning to our text, we see that in verse 4, we can receive a supernatural comfort in time of trouble. In verse 6, we see that there is a purpose for affliction. And in verse 9, we see the key, the ultimate understanding of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 points, and we're done. Point number one, comfort in times of trouble. Verse 4 reads, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So you see that comfort starts at the time that we're brought to life by the word of God, as opposed to being dead in trespasses and sins before the Holy Ghost convicted us of sin unto salvation. Now we see a very interesting verse that defines where the world gets its comfort. Zechariah 10:22. It states, "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain."